Game time! 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com. And, of course, the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Rocking and rolling our way through a Tuesday. Tomorrow, Scott Chandler. You know, I'm interested to talk to Scott on... Because he tweeted something that I don't want to say I disagreed with, but I just... I'm not as high on this person as he is. He tweeted during the spring game. Every year in the Nebraska spring game, number 37 makes plays and moves the chains. That's Wyatt Mazur. Bill Belichick would love to get his hands on Nebraska's Wyatt Mazur. He is a baller and needs to be on the field and getting targets this fall. I see Danny Woodhead and Julian Edelman in him. Hashtag GBR. Whoa. I mean, that's some high praise. And Scott's not a... You know, I get some people that like just... Like, the thing had always got to the point where... remember watching Gruden's quarterback camp? And Gruden just, like, would fall madly in love with every quarterback. It didn't matter what quarterback came. It was like, tell you what, this guy... What's his name again? Bill Johnson from Ball State. I'd take him number one overall. Like, it didn't matter what quarterback he was around. He was, like, always madly in love with him. And it got to the point where, you know, it's like the boy who cried wolf type of thing, where it's like, you know, when you love everyone, it makes you kind of like, he loves everyone. I mean, literally every, because then he started to work the draft. He was all in on Manziel, and he was all in on this guy, and all in on that guy. So I bring that up to say, Shanley's not like that. Shanley's not a guy that just heaps out praise like he's handing out bread at Olive Garden or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot for him to praise you. But he sees a lot in Wyatt Mazur. And, you know, it's hard. It's like, for me, when I look at the running back spot, all those guys I like, I don't know if any of them I love. I like Jalen Bradley. I like Wyatt Mazur. I don't know if any of those guys are like third down and four, gotta have it against Ohio State early in the fourth quarter. I mean, is Wyatt Mazur making a huge play? I think Maurice Washington is. You know, Amir Abdullah was. Rex Burkhead was. Like, you need that. You know, I like Jalen Bradley. I like Wyatt Mazur, but, you know, that's what we're talking about. And for me, you know, I was listening to Sip on Sportsmanlike Conduct, and John simply asked the question to him, are you more optimistic right now about the team than you were heading into spring? And I was listening to it, and my knee-jerk reaction was like, about the same, probably. You know what I mean? Like, my optimism level hasn't altered. But the more I thought about it, I was sitting there pushing Maeve on the swing, and she's saying we, and I'm thinking about Nebraska football. I'm like, you know what? I may be a little less optimistic about next season than I realized when I thought about the running back spot. Like, I'm not ready to say that I'm ready to sound the alarm, code red, hit the panic button, just throw in the towel. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just simply saying the running back spot's a little bit of a concern. You know, I mean, I think when you think about Maurice Washington in that situation, you go, ooh, man, what's going to happen there? Because, when I was thinking about heading into this year, you go, okay, Maurice Washington, he's going to be a starting running back. He's going to get an entire offseason to gain weight, change his body. And all of a sudden, boom, this legal situation hits in February. And all of a sudden, that's all up in the air. And he didn't get as many reps this spring. I'm not sure how much he's changed his body. And hell, we don't even know for sure if he's going to be on the team next year. We don't. Now, I can't say he won't be, but we don't know what the situation is. And with that question mark, things get interesting at the running back spot. Because again, I like the guys. I don't know if I love some of the returners. So now everything's on Dedrick Mills. I feel like he's the guy that I circle when you think about the running backs that are going to arrive in the fall. He's a JUCO kid, but he played at Georgia Tech as a freshman. 771 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns. Those are real numbers against real defenses, right? So there's some comfort there. But I think he is massively important to step in and hit right away. I mean, hell, even if Washington comes back and is on the team, I think Mills is a viable, legit contributor next year that they need him to be that. Again, I like Brody Belt, like Jalen Bradley, like Wyatt Mazur. I just don't know if those guys are special. Washington is special. And so, again, Mills has some legit experience coming in with him, which is good. But, man, I just, you know, I'm thinking about things, and the running back spot does give me a little bit of cause for concern. You need a playmaker, a home run hitter, a really special dude there. For this offense to pop, you need a special player, not just a guy at the running back spot. And this offense is dependent on chunk plays, explosive plays. You need a real guy to be able to make those things happen against real defenses like the Big Ten possesses. Washington's that guy. And if he isn't in the equation, all of a sudden you go, uh-oh. And then you become super reliant on the incoming running backs to hit the ground, most notably Dedrick Mills. Because the reality is Nebraska, as long as Scott Frost is at the helm, which I think we all are super pumped and thankful that he is, Nebraska is going to be offensive-oriented and offensive-dependent and offensive-minded as a program. They need the offense to lead the way. And for, you know, the defense is a complementary piece to the offense. The offense has to be the superstar. And for the offense to really lead the way, you need weapons at a bunch of spots. You obviously need a quarterback, you need the wide receivers, of course you need a running back. And that is a question mark to me right now, given the unknown status of Maurice Washington. So again, I'm not ready to be like, I'll tell you what, if you got season tickets, just sell them right now. This season's going. I'm not ready to say that, because again, Maurice Washington can be on the team and it's all to the goody. But I'd say my optimism's tempered a bit after this entire spring session because of Washington's legal situation and because of the running back situation. But you're really going to need some of those younger cats to come in and pop. And you really need to hope that this whole legal situation for Maurice Washington shakes out as good as it could possibly shake out. 402-951-1620. Let's grab George on the line. George, appreciate you calling. Appreciate your patience. Fire away. Do we lose George? You're cutting out. Maybe you can call back. That was instantly cut out. If someone said, "Can you make out anything he said there?" The answer is 100% no. 100% no. not even. I can't even make out. I think he said Nick to start.
I think he said Nick too. So that's the only thing.
Nick, final answer. I think he said Nick. I'm gonna go with that. I'm going to go with that.
I'm trying to buy him some time here, but I picked up the phone. And he's like, "George," and we sat there in silence for like 7 seconds, and I was like, "Oh, is your name George? Wait,
so you, who, me, you, who?"
He's like, "Oh yeah, my name is George." I was like, "Oh man,
goodness." By the way, I got an email a little bit ago. It's supposed to be for the mailbag, but. Dave, you're supposed to send your mailbag questions to George at 1620.com. But he simply asks, how long until Porter Moser has St. John's to the Final Four? I hope he's joking. But Porter Moser was he was apparently in New York yesterday and interviewing for the job, and apparently has been offered the job, but nothing is done yet. And I will say this. Obviously, Porter Moser, there's some local connections, played at Creighton. Then a year ago, we all watched the little Chicago team and you know, that their magical run to the Final Four. But I think Porter Moser's a good coach, but I don't love that situation for him at St. John's. I don't love that situation with St. John's. You know, First of all, you understand Porter Moser. First of all, the St. John's situation feels like a little bit of a mess right now. But St. John's or Porter Moser runs a style that's more like Virginia. Pack line defense, grind you out, slow possessions. That doesn't feel like New York. You know what I mean? Like New York basketball doesn't feel like Virginia. And you may say, listen, to hell with styles, just win. If you win, they'll come, which is true. But they're not, I mean, but you're also not hiring Tony Bennett to where it's a guarantee. Like, you hire Tony Bennett, he's going to get it done. The reality is Porter Moser, and I love, you know, I like Porter. I think everybody, his coaching prowess in his career is a little overdone. Like, outside of last year when he took Loyola Chicago to the Final Four, I mean, got let go at Illinois State. I mean, he's been to one NCAA tournament, one NIT, which was this year when they lost to Creighton. So I think sometimes, you know, people overdo what a guy's done in a career based on what they do in March. I just don't think it's a great fit. Not only for St. John's with his style, but even for Porter Moser. I just don't know if Porter Moser fits there either. I think it's telling that he left without taking the job. You know, my guess is he's probably not going to take it. But we'll see. I just don't. I don't love it. I don't love it. All right, do we got George back? Is George back?
George is back.
All right, George wants to talk Nebraska football. George, you had bad connections. We had to drop you. Yeah, I got you loud and clear, my man. Thank you.
All right. Last time I was telling you how great your show is and how well you're doing.
I love it.
No, truly, I criticized you one time, you know, years ago, and I take it all back.
It. Thanks, man.
But concerning Scott Frost, bringing in this Georgia Tech running back, I really, really like that. I don't have confidence in Scott Frost's offense. He doesn't know how to take the ball from under the center. I saw him do it one time, and it was a quarterback sneak, and when the quarterback ran up there, it was against Ohio State, they knew exactly what was going to be called. Now, if you would just take an I formation just a few times, well, more than a few, maybe a dozen times a game, where the fullback is truly a running back and the defense doesn't know who the hell is going to get the ball, that's going to just open up the offense like a can of corn. And it'll make Scott Frost's offense work. So I'm having a little bit of faith now in Scott Frost that he's bringing in a running back that knows what a triple option is all about. And I think, you know, as Ryan Held, he thinks a fullback is a blocking back, where I think a fullback is a running back. All I watch the service academies, Georgia Tech and Nebraska. And these teams that run the triple option, they're up against much higher caliber players, but these defenses don't know what the hell is going to go on, so they're able to beat these teams. And I know Adrian Martinez can run a triple option, and it's not that tough. I go clear back to the 60s watching football, and Barry Switzer installed a true triple option about the third or fourth game of the year back in 1969, 1970, and they did it, and they won. It's just like you playing your basketball and you're driving for a layup, and you see a guy open. You got somebody covering you, and you pass the ball real quick for an easy layup. That's all a triple option is. I mean, you hit the open man. You didn't know you were going to pass to that guy. But in a triple option, that's what goes on. The quarterback gets the ball. And when he takes a stab, he doesn't know if he's going to get it, the fullback's going to get it, or the I-back's going to get it. And I know if Scott Frost did that just a little bit, that it'll make his offense wide open.
But they do run some option.
No, no, no. You're missing the whole point. You've got to have the fullback is the key, and he's not a blocking back, you know, like Iowa and Wisconsin. You know, their fullbacks, they line up at an I sometimes, and the fullback's just going to block. But if the defense thinks he's going to run the ball, well, they're going to key in on the fullback, whether he's got it or not. That's when the quarterback takes over, and then he makes a decision whether he's going to keep it or pitch it to the I back, and it all hinges around the fullback.
But they do. I mean, they do that in a different way. I mean, have you seen where they'll bring a guy in motion, they'll zone read where Martinez might hand it to the back or might keep it, and then they're optioning off of the end.
I've watched Martinez run the option, and he can do it. He can run any offense.
They do run the option. Like, I feel like they run a different version of the option that you're talking about.
Right, but they run it from a passing formation, and eventually they've got to be in a running formation. Like, say it's third and one, and they need that one. They need to line up in the eye. And guess what? Adrian Martinez, he can pass the ball. It doesn't have to be an option, but it's going to screw up the defense, and that's the whole key to a team like Navy with lesser caliber athletes beating higher quality athletes because they can't prepare for that triple option.
Right.
And it all depends on the fullback, running fullback.
Yeah. George, Rob gets a break, so I gotta let you run. Appreciate the call. I mean, it's not the first time George has called and you know, expressed his views there. I mean, I just think, like, they don't run the triple option. You know, that'd be like telling Jim Boeheim if he just full court pressed, they could do that. Well, he doesn't do that, you know? Like, This is how Scott Frost runs it. And again, it's a version of the triple. It's a version of the option. It's just you're just doing it a little bit differently. But ultimately, if you want Scott Frost to run the true, like, old school triple option, it's just never going to happen. It's just not what they do. It's just not what they do. And again, they do run the triple option. Like that, like a fallacy is the idea that they do not run. Like they do. It's just not under center the old traditional look of it. That's all it is. Okay, I want to get into Doc Sadler. I want to get back into the running back conversation. We got some calls you got to get to. We got a lot to get to, man. Let's take a break. Game time.